also a lord on his own land, the small-time braggart calling the gypsy from his hut, the brilliant orchestration, the fury of the band, the order, play my tune, boy, the order, stand, now squat, fill up the place with music, sink down to your knees. Okay, boys, get us singing, perform your proper parts, go serenade the ladies by playing from the trees, tender your cheap music to our expensive hearts. From restaurant and cafe, from villages and slums, from tongs and bones to fiddles, to concert halls and flags, the music starts out cheap, from churns and cheeks and drums, from rags to velvet coaches, then back again to rags. And under it the simplest music of no choice, from slammer to slum party to simperings of strings, it's always the bare clamour of finger, fist and voice, and always the band waiting like servants in the wings.
George Surtees reading his new poem Gypsy Music at the end of our Sunday feature Hungary's Soul, Liszt and Gypsy Music. The producer was Elizabeth Arno. And if you'd like to hear some of the music recorded for the programme by the group Pano Grast, then do follow the links to the Sunday feature on the Radio 3 website. Next Sunday evening, our Sunday feature reveals a lesser-known aspect of the work of Leonardo da Vinci, the operettas, the masks and the parades that he designed and directed at the court of Milan. Leonardo, Master of Ceremonies, is the title of the programme. It begins at 7:45 next Sunday evening here on BBC Radio 3. And just before we leave our day dedicated to the music of Liszt, you can hear more of his music tomorrow when Rob Cowan is your host for Essential Classics. His final choice tomorrow morning will be a performance of Liszt's mighty piano sonata in B minor. It's the Building a Library recommendation which was made during CD review yesterday morning here on Radio 3, and you can find out who's playing it at around about 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Also in the programme, by the way, tomorrow's Rob's choice of essential CD of the week is the album they called Music Among Friends by the Mellosh Ensemble. Herbert Blomstedt is the artist of the week this week. And Rob also talks to his guest for the first time, the journalist Matthew D'Ancona, one of the judges of this year's Man Booker Prize. Tomorrow morning you can hear the pianist that first inspired him to listen to classical music. All in Essential Classics from 9 o'clock tomorrow morning here on Radio 3.
The Beethoven Symphonies and the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra in Radio 3 live in concert. One of the oldest and most famous orchestras of them all continues its Beethoven Symphony cycle at London's Barbican Hall, and Radio 3 has the best seat in the house. Radio 3 live in concert from London with a great musical partnership. Ricardo Schei and the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra. Wednesday night at 7:30, live on BBC Radio 3.
Later tonight, our Drama on 3 is a hard-hitting, award-winning debut play by Vivian Frantzman. It considers the consequences of an assault by a troubled black student on a white female teacher and her misguided attempts to protect him. Malachi Kirby and Candida Benson lead the cast in Mogadishu, our Drama on 3, which begins tonight at 10:15. But next this evening, at a slightly earlier than usual time, it's time for World Roots with Lucy Duran.
Hello and welcome. This week I'm joined in the studio by an old friend of the programme, someone we went all the way to Venezuela to record back in 2004. Well, he's come to see us this time, and he's joined by three fantastic musicians. I'll introduce them in a moment. Carlos Orozco, welcome back to World Roots.
Thank you.
That's the uplifting and infectious sound of joropo, the music of Venezuela's vast southern plains, performed in the World Root Studio by Carlos Orozco on harp, Carias Orozco on maracas, Edward Ramirez on cuatro, and Lester Paredes on bandola. And that was a piece composed by Carlos, which he affectionately calls, let me try and get this right, Mere Gabi Quita Pola de Pajarillo. That's a mixture of five different styles of joropo, he tells me. It's merecure, gavilán, chipola, quitapesares, and pajarillo. But that's only touching the surface because there are 58 different kinds of joropo from around Venezuela, and more of that in just a moment. Also in today's programme, I'll be chatting to Feyruz Nishanova from the Aga Khan Trust, who, together with the Smithsonian Institute, has released a series of wonderful recordings from around Central Asia. So, here I am now with Carlos Orozco and this fabulous quartet, who are part of the Venezuela Viva Band. They're over in London for a single concert, and they have literally just arrived in the country. So it's very exciting to see you again, Carlos. And you too, Gloria Carnivali, who took us around Venezuela, and we have many fond memories of that extraordinary trip.
It's lovely to be back here.
Gracias, Lucy. Gracias a este gran programa.
So, Carlos, it's been quite some time since we've seen you. What have you been doing?
Estaba haciendo de todo un poco, muchas cosas, y ahora ando con Venezuela Viva.
I've been doing a lot of different things, but now I'm playing for Venezuela Viva, which is this company.
What is Venezuela Viva?
Venezuela Viva, el nombre lo dice, es Venezuela.
Venezuela Viva is a show that brings together all the different elements in Venezuelan culture and music. So it goes back to flamenco and how it turned into joropo and also the African percussion and all the different styles that are Venezuelan music today.
I love all of these names, Carlos. Mere, cure, gavilán, chipola, quitapesares. Quitapesares means take away the sorrow, and your music really does take sorrow away, doesn't it?
Le quita pesares, que de verdad que le quita los pesares.
Joropo is an incredible mixture of indigenous and African, isn't it?
And Spanish.
And
yes.
Spanish.
Yes, I mean, the central plains of Venezuela is an area which for a long time was like the no man's land. No, it wasn't no man's land. There were indigenous people living there. But suppose an African slave escaped from a plantation, that's where he would go because it was a very swampy place and not many people would go fetching him there. And the Spaniards, who were outlaws as well, that's where they would go. So this was an outlaw land. But that's precisely the place where all these people met because they were the only ones there. And they brought in their music and their instruments and their rhythms, and they mix it all up in this wonderful joropo that we have now.
So, Carlos, joropo is a really traditional Venezuelan style, but I know that you are a composer. You're always composing. You're always bringing new interpretations to these great traditions from Venezuela. So will you do something for us now that's your own composition? Just you, together with your son, Carias, on the maracas, you playing the harp. What will it be?
El tema a mi mascota fue que mis hijas
Carlos has dedicated a piece of music to every member of his family. And the only one that didn't have a piece of music was the dog, which, you know, is part of the family. So he composed this piece to the mascota, which is the pet. And then he was also composing another piece of music, and he didn't quite know what to do with it, so he brought it all together, and he made this one, which is called Mascota Dos en Uno. So it's two songs in one.
Thank you. Carlos Orozco on harp and his son Carias Orozco on maracas. And that was A Mi Mascota y Dos en Uno, a piece of music composed specially by Carlos for his dog. Well, we'll be hearing more fabulous música llanera from Venezuela, which is undoubtedly one of Latin America's great musical traditions, by Carlos, Carias, Edward and Lester in about half an hour. This is World Roots on BBC Radio 3, and I'm Lucy Duran. It's 20 years since the collapse of the Soviet Union. After years of sharing the same political philosophy, countries as diverse and geographically scattered as Lithuania, Georgia, and Kazakhstan found themselves re-establishing their own cultural identities. Music was one aspect of culture that suffered during the Soviet era, notably in what are now the Central Asian republics, such as Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Uzbekistan. One organisation which is now working hard to address this is the Aga Khan Trust for Culture's Music Initiative. Through a series of concerts, collaborations and recordings released with the assistance of the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., this initiative aims to sustain and develop the traditional music of the area. The director of the Aga Khan Trust's Music Initiative is Feyruz Nishanova. Feyruz came into the World Roots studio to tell me more and to play me some of the unique recordings from their wonderful collection.
Oh,
The Badakhshan Ensemble featuring the vocals of Olucha Mualib Shoyev, and that was the track Falak. It's from Music of Central Asia, Volume 5, Song and Dance from the Pamir Mountains on the Smithsonian Folkways label. So tell us about the Badakhshan Ensemble, Fairuz.
They take their name from their home region. It's a mountainous region known very poetically and beautifully in Persian as Bame Dunya, which means the roof of the world. And that's exactly, this is the most correct description of the region you could come up with. This is the region that comprises eastern half of Tajikistan and northeastern Afghanistan. The only, the natural separation line is the river, the great river Panj, that in the past used to be the only border between the mighty Soviet Union and Afghanistan. So this was really the part of Tajikistan that had more attention from the central Soviet government than the capital of Tajikistan, Dushanbe. They speak dialects of Persian that are quite different from the mainland Tajik. And it's the language that has been preserved amazingly well. This is how the history is preserved. This is how the stories are told by the elderly to the other members of the community. And in Badakhshan, those stories are told and those customs are surveyed and carried out through the traditional music and in the local language.
Tell us about the Aga Khan Music Initiative and, I mean, what the ideology is behind making albums like this one or doing the series like Music of Central Asia.
It's part of a multi-level, multi-pronged strategy to help artists, music educators, music enthusiasts and audiences all over the region of Central Asia to revitalize their musical traditions that have suffered different degrees of rupture or suppression or censorship or
war, so, I suppose, in Afghanistan.
War in Afghanistan, the Taliban. Absolutely, or the invention of a new Soviet identity during the Soviet rule all over Central Asia, when the local national identities had to be suppressed for this new all-comprising and some most of the time very foreign identity to come in and be imposed. If you imagine Afghanistan and Poland in the same country, it's almost unimaginable, but yes. it's almost exactly the same distance as between Tajikistan and Lithuania, and they were parts of the same
of one single country,
of one nation, and just by that definition, they were supposed to adhere to the same principles and have the same cultural references and respond to the same cultural symbols, and of course, all of those had to be created. And of course, that resulted in generations not having any real connection to the cultural legacy of their ancestors. And it is at that very peculiar time when the Central Asian nations have become independent after the breakup of the Soviet Union. This is when we became aware of those desperate efforts of cultural enthusiasts and music educators and artists that were trying to revitalize and re-energize the traditions of their lands, of their regions that have been suppressed for so many years. And they literally became cultural anthropologists because there wasn't one single place where they could just go, take a description of a tradition and go about revitalizing it. They had to reconstruct the instruments that no longer existed.
And you're talking now about the cultural activists from within the country.
From within all but over Central Asia.
Before the Aga Khan Music Initiative became involved in it.
It was sort of a simultaneous process, if you will. We came in soon after the independence, when the cultural activists were already doing their work. And what was wonderful about the independence is that for many years during the Soviet rule, the patronage of culture became an instrument of control of cultural institutions, and it was very much the domain of the state. So at the time when we came in and found those wonderful people who were doing the cultural anthropology work, that monopoly of state control was gone. This is when an independent actor, even an actor from abroad, not in every country, but in most of the countries into which we came, could come in and equip those activists with the tools they needed, administrative, financial, any other tools they needed to just pass on their knowledge and their craft.
We're going to shortly hear a track from Music of Central Asia, Volume 7, and this is one of my favourite tracks in the whole series, I think. I know nothing about it, and you're going to tell me about it in a minute. But, I mean, how did you actually manage to record that bit of Uzbek music?
It was made very clear to us that the usual package would not work. It would not fly. We would never be given the opportunity or the freedom to do. But no one has yet prevented us from working directly with the artists. We are able to present artists from Uzbekistan in our worldwide performances and touring programs. And we're also able to help the artists directly on the ground. And the track that you like very much is a beautiful one. It is called Bir Alayim, and it is a spiritual song. And it's part of a beautiful repertoire of halfas. And halfas are female performers. So appropriately, this is music made by women for women.
Bu cahan işrev ölüyün çəsiz nedir mən Önünü gülü ta ki sol yünçe siz ne bir mən Dilbe bu cehan içre öl yünçe siz ne bir mən Ömrümle gülü ta ki sol yünçe siz ne bir mən Boynuma kılıç gelse kes yünçe siz ne bir mən Boynuma kılıç gelse kes yünçe siz ne bir mən Könlünüzde melal alman mudama siz ne bir mən Könlünüzde melal alman öl yünçe siz ne bir mən Köylümüze bilmez men ol şok istem yerden İçemedim var ollerleri şekerden Köylümüze bilmez men ey ol şok istem yerden İçemedim var ollerleri şekerden Göze görünü bela ol böyle çeperilerden Göze görünü bela ol böyle çeperilerden Könlünüze melal alman mudama siz ne der men Könlünüze melal alman gel içe siz ne der men Şadetine bağında şadlık bilen yürgeyimiz Kolu kola berişip kızıl güller tirgeyimiz Şadetine bağında şadlık bilen yürgeyimiz Kolu kola berişip kızıl güller tirgeyimiz Senin ümit kütledi bu tilbe garip aciz Sizler ümit kütledi bu tilbe garip aciz Künlünüze melal alman mudama siz ne der men Künlünüze melal alman gel içe siz ne der men Künlünüze melal alman mudama siz ne der men İhtiyar özünüzde öl içe siz ne der men
Bira Laim from Music of Central Asia, Volume 7, In the Shrine of the Heart, popular classics from Bukhara and beyond. And I won't attempt to pronounce the names of the two performers there. Would you do that for me, Feruz?
Oh, with pleasure. The name of the young singer who performed this track, her name is Dilbarjan Bekturdeva. She did the vocals and the accordion, or saz, as it is known in Khwarazm. And she was accompanied on a small frame drum, Doira, by Habibullah Kuranbayev.
And the text, tell us the title of the track.
The title of the track is Biralayim, My Only God. And this is part of the standard Halfa repertoire. And Halfas are the dancers and singers who accompany the female congregation of the region in all religious, ceremonial and musical functions that go together with the most important moments in the life of a woman. It's amazing the richness of that repertoire. You will find songs that are sad, that are educational.
So there's a huge range of emotional expression.
Absolutely. And they can be sad. They can be laments. They can be encouraging. They can be very flirtatious and suggestive and very educational in all sense of the words. But they will make quite a few members of the congregation blush, but dance at the same time.
This music, which I knew nothing about, and when I heard the track, I loved it. And one of the things that I love about it is I think it's just so straightforward. It's not mediated in any way. It's not produced. It's not, you know, it's just, it is what it is. And how is this tradition doing? Is it flourishing?
No, it's not doing very well, unfortunately. And unfortunately, through the music initiative, we do not have the right to go in as we would have wanted to into Uzbekistan and establish the schools that would help the Halfa performers to carry on this beautiful tradition. Because just think about it. It's one of the most traditional and male-dominant societies and cultures that you can imagine.
Yet, patriarchal.
Absolutely. Yet it is women dancers and singers and composers who literally carry the line of the tradition and the lifeline of the society through music, through this performance, in their small, gentle, and very strong hands.
Tell me about Volume 9 in the series Music of Central Asia, which is called In the Footsteps of Babur, Musical Encounters from the Lands of the Mughals. So
yes.
that is a collaboration between young musicians from what, Afghanistan,
this is you,
India.
You would take the memoirs of the great Emperor Babur, who established the Mughal Empire and became the first Mughal emperor. And what we did is we followed his route from Central Asia into Afghanistan and then into India. And we invited wonderful music enthusiasts, talented young composers and arrangers and musicians from the Pamir Mountains in Tajikistan, from Dushanbe also in Tajikistan, from Afghanistan and from India, to come together and try and reassemble the elements of this millennium-old legacy and see if that musical memory would kick in and start another conversation that is rooted in tradition yet entirely contemporary.
Thank you so much, Feruz Nishanova, for coming and talking to us about this excellent series, Music of Central Asia, on the Smithsonian Folkways label, and to tell us about the very important work of the Aga Khan Music Initiative. And please, would you introduce the final track that we're going to hear?
Final track is Zuhal's Song. It is a beautiful track composed by Humayun Sahi, who is the greatest living performer and composer on the Afghan rubab, and Humayun leads this piece. He is joined by Mukhtar Mubarak Adamov, who plays the Bairakshani sitar from the Pamir region in Tajikistan.
That we heard right at the beginning of our talk.
He is later joined by Sirajuddin Jurayev, who is from Tajikistan and who is a virtuoso on a dutar, a Tajik lute. And last but not least, there is a wonderful solo and accompaniment by Salar Nader, who plays the tabla and the zarbagali. Thank you.
Zuhal's song by the Afghan rubab player Homayoun Sahi, playing with musicians from Tajikistan and Afghanistan. That's on the Music of Central Asia, Volume 9, In the Footsteps of Babur, Musical Encounters from the Lands of the Mughals. And the Music of Central Asia series is on the Smithsonian Folkways label. And I was talking there to Feyruz Nishanova. This is World Roots on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Duran. Well, we heard them earlier, and here they are again, from Venezuela, part of the Venezuela Viva group. They've come straight from the airport to the studio, and if they're tired, it certainly doesn't show. Carlos Orozco on harp, Carias Orozco on maracas, Edward Ramirez on cuatro, and Lester Paredes on bandola. They're going to play one of Venezuela's most famous tunes, turned into a hit by the Gypsy Kings called Bamboleo. Well, here it is, in its original version, Caballo Viejo, the old horse of the savannah. Thank you. Caballo Viejo, played by the quartet, who are part of the Venezuela Viva group, led by Carlos Orozco on harp. And that tune was actually originally composed by Simon Diaz, one of the great composers from Venezuela. That song, Caballo Viejo, the old horse, is the horse who falls in love again despite being very old. Is that right?
Lo que pasa es entre... Él está como comparando un caballo viejo ser una persona mayor, pues.
An old horse has the right to fall in love, like an old man can fall in love with a young woman again. That's what he said.
En el amor no hay límite.
There's no limits to love.
Gloria, the two musicians that are playing with Carlos, Edward Ramirez, who plays the cuatro, which is a small four-string guitar, and Lester Paredes, who plays the bandola. I mean, they're both very, very brilliant musicians as well.
In the cuatro specifically, this is a small guitarrilla. Che Hurtado, you know, he came with Simon Diaz here. He's a great cuatro player in Venezuela, and he set up this competition called La Siembra del Cuatro, sowing the cuatro. And they started picking out young cuatro players from all over Venezuela in five different regions. And Edward Ramirez won one of the first Siembra del Cuatro competitions. And then he formed a group called Sa Cuatro Trio with two other brilliant cuatro players. And they just won a huge prize in Colombia, in Villavicencio, as a group, a special group of joropo. And the bandola...
It's a real virtuoso.
He's a real virtuoso. And the cuatro, the thing is that it's a very small guitar and it has hardly any resonance. So you have to keep playing and strumming it. That's why I think it requires such fast playing. I've seen cuatro players with blood in their fingers, you know, by the end of finish a concert. It's so hard. And the bandola is a very different instrument. It's a kind of lute and it's much more serene. It produces a music which is much more even, like...
It's more plucked, isn't it? It's more like a bass instrument.
Plucked, yes.
It's very interesting how those two instruments really blend with the harp.
Yeah.
So it would be lovely to hear just those two instruments on their own without the harp.
And they will want the maracas. No Venezuelan musician wants to play without a maracas.
Thank you. Well, that was a piece called Un Diamante en Seis, A Diamond in Six. I think diamond is another one of these styles of music from the plains of Venezuela. That was featuring Edward Ramirez on cuatro, and that's the little four-string guitar, with Lester Paredes on bandola and Carias Orozco playing the maracas there. Carlos, this is your son, and I have very vivid memories of being in your house in Barquisimeto in Venezuela and meeting your children, all of whom were fantastically talented musicians.
Todo.
Todos tocan.
El talento está en...
And this beautiful harp that you play, it's different from a classical harp. It's not like a concert harp.
Descripción de... Es un poco más liviana...
It's a lighter instrument.
Más moderada.
It's a more modest.
Tiene menos cuerdas.
It has less strings.
Y las cuerdas son menos duras, la tensión.
There is less tension in the strings.
Sí, más suave.
It's a softer harp.
No tiene cuerdas tan metal, no tiene cuerdas de metal.
It has no metal strings.
Y la forma de tocarla es única en los llaneros. Yo no soy llanero, pero investigué la música llanera.
And the way to play it, only the llaneros do that. And he's
only
not,
the people from the plains.
From the plains.
But you are not from the plains.
No, Barquisimeto, Estado Lara.
He's from a nearby state.
Y los llaneros son los que tienen más la, lo auténtico
del llano. He says that he's not one from the plains, but he learned to play like one of them. And they're very tough. They're very tough in accepting someone from outside the llanos.
But you have been accepted.
Hubo una guerra de 20 años, más o menos.
There was a war of about 20 years.
Good, well, I'm glad you won that war. So let's have a final piece of music from you, Carlos.
Voy a tocar un género titulado Gabán, que es donde mostramos nosotros la atmósfera que estamos viviendo aquí en la BBC. Con ustedes, el Gabán.
The Gabán is the name of a very large bird from Los Llanos. And just to show the emotion at being here at the BBC, it's a music full of a lot of energy.
Thank you so much, Carlos Orozco. It's been really lovely to have you back on the programme. And you too, Gloria Carnevali. Thank you very much. Thanks also to the musicians, Carias Orozco on maracas, Edward Ramirez on cuatro, and Lester Paredes on bandola. So, Carlos, we're going to end now with El Gabán.
Gracias, y le prometo traerle mucho más música.
He says, thank you, and we will bring you more music in the future.
I look forward to that. Thank you.
Music from the Central Plains of Venezuela. World Roots was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by James Parkham. Next week, World Roots returns to its usual new time of 10 o'clock on Sunday evening. Don't forget that world music is also to the fore on Friday nights on Radio 3. Mary Ann Kennedy presents the programme this coming Friday, and she'll be introducing a studio session recorded for the programme by the Appalachian folk trio Old Sledge. World on 3 begins at 11 o'clock on Friday evenings on Radio 3. And don't forget that you can listen to last Friday's edition of the programme for the next 5 days by going to the Radio 3 website and then clicking on the Listen Again option. Incidentally, just before World on 3 this week, Jarvis Cocker will be amongst the guests on this week's edition of The Verb, talking about his new book, Mother, Brother, Lover. It's his first book, in fact, and it's a collection of lyrics he's selected and annotated. The Verb is this Friday night at 10 o'clock here on Radio 3.
On BBC One, Sir David Attenborough takes us to a world beyond imagination to uncover the magical lands of the polar regions.
These are places that feed our imaginations, places that seem to be borrowed from fairy tales. From ice caps that hold nearly 80% of our planet's fresh water, to frozen forests that encircle the entire globe. This is our planet's last true wilderness.
Frozen Planet, Wednesday night at 9 on BBC One and BBC One HD.
This is Radio 3. Well, now it's time for drama on 3. Our play is Mogadishu by Vivian Frantzman. Tonight's play is a hard-hitting account of the events following an assault on a white teacher by a troubled black student in a secondary school. Mogadishu won the Bruntwood Prize for playwriting, and Vivian Frantzman won the George Devine Award for the most promising playwright in 2010. This uncompromising play does contain the strongest language and some racial insults. Here's Vivian Frantzman herself to introduce it.
I wrote Mogadishu because I was a teacher for 12 years in various London secondary schools, and I always wanted to write something that was set in a school because I always thought a school was a really rich and exciting environment. When I first began teaching, I didn't know anyone that was accused of anything. And probably for the first 5 years of my career, which were in quite a tough school, there was never any accusations, ever. And then in the sort of the latter years of my career, it became really, I wouldn't say commonplace, but it wasn't unusual to hear of someone having an allegation made against them. And once you start talking to teachers, you start hearing that, you know, everyone seems to know someone who's had a false allegation against them. And that was something that, as a teacher, really worried me. I think the play is important because if a teacher is falsely accused, the impact of that can, well, it can ruin your life, really. The play was originally a stage play, and it was produced and developed by the Royal Exchange in Manchester. This radio version is an adaptation, but kind of more than an adaptation. It's a reimagining. I called it Mogadishu because it's one of those places that, you know, people kind of know what's going on in Mogadishu. They kind of know about the conflict there. And that's similar to a school. Everyone thinks they kind of know what happens in a school, but they don't.
Mogadishu by Vivian Frantzman.
What lesson you got now, Chugs?
Citizenship. I ain't going. Mr. Benson's an idiot, man.
Innit?
What you got, Jace?
Dunno.
I got English. You wanna walk with me?
Nah. I've got things to do.
Right. Thanks.
Oi, oi. Look at this little bodrick. Nice jackots, mate.
Excuse me, please. May I pass?
Cool briefcase.
Give it here, bud.
Jace, don't.
Here, Chugs, catch.
No, please, it is my father's.
Give it back to him, Chugs.
Hey, Zahir.
Hey, Jace.
Come and get him.
No, please, no.
Jace, don't. Give it him back.
If you want it, come and get it.
No.
Oh, nearly.
Please.
Oompa Loompa.
Jump, Oompa Loompa.
Hey, what are you doing? Don't touch me.
I just want my case.
Get off me. Shit.
You burnt me.
No,
he burnt me.
It is your cigarette. Your cigarette burnt.
He burnt me when he jumped.
Please calm down.
Shut your mouth.
It was accident. Your cigarette.
You burnt a hole in my top. Say sorry.
Yeah, say sorry.
Yeah.
Say it.
Sorry.
This is my favorite top. He
wears it all the time.
But you took my briefcase.
From that time.
I said sorry. What do you want me to do?
I want you to go back in time and not to have burnt a hole in my bare expensive Nike top.
Don't be silly, Billy.
I use out of order. Who do you think you are? This is my favorite top and you burnt it.
You should not smoke in school.
You don't tell me what to do, innit?
Get cancer in your lungs.
Don't tell me what to do, you prick.
Jace.
Little prick.
Please do not say that.
Little packy prick.
Allow it, Jace.
You are racist.
Do you know me? Do you know anything about me?
You said I
burnt my top.
It was your cigarette. You.
Jace!
You is a hoodie burning little.
I'm tired of this. I go.
Hey, where do you think you're going? Hey, I'm talking to you.
Please, no. Please, no.
Stop. Allow it, bro. Jason!
Burning my top. Talking to me like that.
Jason, get off me.
Stop it.
I'll cut you up.
Jason, I said that's enough.
Chatting to me like what?
Jason,
what?
That's enough.
You little fucking packy cunt.
Stop it, Jason. That's enough.
Get out of my way. Out of my way.
That's enough!
Fuck you!
Jace!
Jace, what's done, man?
Shut up!
Are you hurt, miss?
Miss!
No, I'm all right.
Miss!
No, it's okay. I'm okay. Get to class! All of you! Now! Becky, come on!
He's such a wanker. Jason Chambers is such a...
Stop going on, will you? And do your seatbelt up.
You're such a...
Can you put your seatbelt on, please? We're not going home until you...
All right, Mum, all right. I remember in primary, he begged Mrs. Stapleton to let him take the school hamster home for the holiday. And when he brought it back, it had this horrible burn mark on its fur, like a cigarette or something. No one made a fuss, just acted like it's totally fucking normal.
Please stop swearing.
Like it was no big deal that a hamster had been abused on its holiday. But it's not funny, Mum.
No, you're right. Animals should not be abused while they're on holiday.
Animal cruelty is no laughing matter.
That true?
Imagine if it had been someone else that had brought her back in that condition. If I went in and said, "Good morning, Mrs. Stapleton. I've brought back Hammy the hamster, the school symbol of nurture, care and collective responsibility. Yes, he is dead. Sorry about that."
Put the radio on, will you?
If it was me or any other of the nice middle-class kids, we would have been strung up on the climbing frame and beaten like a pinata.
No, actually, switch it off.
You always make excuses for shits like him. I bet you £1 million that he's got more praise postcards at home than anyone I know. And you probably sent them.
Do you think this diatribe might be over by the time we get home?
We are seriously penalised just because we know what pinata and diatribe means. If I communicated with Bear, Sick and Butters, I'd have more awards than Judy Dench. But because I'm white and middle class, it's just assumed that I should have manners, that I should work hard, have aspirations to go to university, spend a gap year building irrigation systems in Mogadishu, and know who Judy Dench is. It's totally unfair.
Where is Mogadishu?
I don't know, I'll Google it later, but the point is...
No, I think I get the point.
Go to see Henderson tomorrow morning, yeah?
It's Mr. Henderson.
Tell him you were assaulted.
It's not that simple, Becky. It's not black and white. The world is not black and white. There's always grey.
God, not the metaphors.
Pass it to me, please.
It's illegal to speak on the phone when you're driving. It's Peter. Hi, Peter, it's me. Mum's driving. Yeah, fine, thanks. He wants to know if he should get...